Okay, welcome to the Feudal Podcast, no tapping. Today we've got Blaine and Zach, and we are going to be doing a little bit of some talking about Cloverfield, which I almost called Cloverdale again. Cloverdale's a fine little, would you call it a burg? About three and a half hours south of here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's I don't know about Cloverdale.
But you've driven through it, it's on 101.
Have I?
Probably, if you've ever been to San Francisco.
I've driven through Avenue of the Giants. Have you ever done that?
Is that as far south as you've been?
No, I've been all the way down to the Mexican border.
Ooh.
I didn't cross it. You wouldn't dare. I was too afraid. I didn't want to get malaria. Or whatever they give you in Mexico.
They inoculate with malaria.
You're going to need this, senor. And they just stab it in your neck.
Okay.
Not racist.
Not at all. So, we saw Cloverfield on Sunday, and I don't know, at the end of it, there was some guy, and at the beginning, this guy was text messaging. I thought he was turning his phone to vibrate.
I saw you look over and stare at him for like 8 hours while he's texting.
Yeah, and then he was texting, and I was like,
about to see Cloverdale, bro. Call you later.
Yeah, he probably called it Cloverfield, too.
Cloverfield.
But he had some chick with him, and he was probably trying to seem like he was just too cool for everything, you know? And so he's doing his texting thing. And I decided, you know what, that doesn't piss me off because I could care less.
But it did piss me off.
People texting just does piss me off because it's like it's a phone. You know, you can talk to people with it.
Yeah.
Actually. But for some reason, everyone
I think you would sympathize because
to do stuff with
you hate talking on the phone.
Yeah, Ian doesn't like talking on the phone.
I can do it if I need to, though.
What's up? What the hell do you want? What's going on? All right, talk to you later, Mom.
Maybe sound like a cabbie or something. Okay, so, at the end, this guy decided to share with the audience his opinion of it. And he was
That was retarded.
That was
I thought that was you that said
bullshit.
No.
No.
Oh,
why would Ian do that after a movie?
But I was like, Ian didn't like it.
Why would I stand up at the end and share
the
my
people
opinions?
People in the front row, too. Like, there was like a whole group of like six people.
It seemed like there was a group of
people. They're like, what is the point of that?
It seemed like there was a couple people that got there and then got up and left like a minute
before it started. You know what's funny is that people give a monster movie some sort of different standard, because if you watch almost any horror movie, everyone dies in it.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't die, it shows
you're giving away the spoiler
of every horror movie ever.
Yeah. No. Basically,
it's not a spoiler. They tell you in the beginning what happens in the end of the movie. They're like, yeah, this
tape was recovered.
This video
they don't necessarily say what happened to all the characters.
No, but the people's problem with it is it doesn't end with some super victorious.
Yeah, it doesn't end with a robot version of the monster fighting a rat, which is what the sequel can do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think that the gimmick of it, if you haven't already heard, if you've been living under a rock for the last 10 years. Is that it's somebody shooting like a home video of some yuppie douche guy about to go to Japan, which is kind of the irony is that he's going to Japan, but he's in New York, and then you get it.
He would have been safer in Japan.
He would have been safer in Japan. Who would have thunk it?
He should have left one day earlier.
So all these J.J. Abrams types that have been in all of his J.J. Abrams stuff, you know, they're the hip New York people that we all wish we were, but we're not, are hanging around, you know, even the ugly people are beautiful.
I don't think there was a single male in that movie who didn't have stubble. Did you notice that?
Yeah, there was that too.
They were all heavily stubble.
Hud
had stubble.
Hud had stubble, yes.
He was behind the camera.
And Jason had stubble, and Rob had stubble.
Even though he was the vice president or something.
He was the least attractive.
He was a little doughy, and every time he talked, he sounded like he had some sort of probably learning disability.
He was the idiot.
Hey guys, what's going on? He seemed retarded, but like when he was behind the camera, voice was less retarded.
He was the idiot friend.
Yeah, no, but
he was a comic relief.
Well, he wasn't just a comic relief, but like it was annoying that he had the camera because every time something happened, he'd be going like, "What's that? Hey guys, what's that? Hey Rob, what's that? Rob, what is that? Rob, what is that?"
Like
he just wouldn't shut up, you know? Yeah. And Rob's like, just calm down, man.
I think it might have gotten, but that was usually his filler to when it was like boring spots in the movie when they're just walking down the tunnel.
Right.
It's like there needs to be somebody.
No,
to
he would talk and he said funny stuff in those parts.
Yeah.
There was a few
that they're human and they're reacting.
There was a few minor chuckles in the film.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you'd think, okay, this is all going to be super duper shaky cam. You'll never get to see anything. It's a big cop out. They can do a monster movie where they just use some like faraway visual effects. And by and large, that's kind of what they're doing. But they also eventually do just make with it, and they show, you know, and you know, everyone knows it's a monster.
Make with the monster already.
It's a straight up monster. It's a terror. It's like a four armed crazy like mutated
and its arms
turtle thing.
the elbows bend backwards.
On one set of them, at least.
And it's got lungs on its head.
It's got head lungs and a giant tail. It has a tail, right?
Yeah,
that the tail was to take out the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, and the tail was kind of weird shaped. Like, it was kind of thicker at the end. It was almost just like it was another limb or something.
It definitely
was really creepy.
It had chunks of other, babies falling off of it, all the time.
Which turned into, Starship Trooper bugs.
Yeah, and you kind of thought for a minute, oh, God, this is going to turn into, the U.S. Godzilla. And it didn't quite, so that was okay.
Yeah.
For what it was, for the gimmick that it was short, too. I mean, I think it was...
it was an hour and 25, I think.
Yeah.
Really? So it was less than 90. So you didn't feel like you were suffering too much. There was a little bit at the beginning. I think it took a little while. But that was to establish the sort of romance that's supposed to be semi-relevant. So we understand why one character is willing to go and...
Which is why they also had, flashbacks of the video and stuff.
That was actually really effective,
and I thought they did that in a creepy way.
Yeah, that was clever, too.
It was clever. Every time someone mentioned that... So it starts with the fact that they're making a tape, and they keep mentioning the fact, and mostly Hud does, because he's usually using it to break the ice with people. He says, you know a wedding video where they do the testimonials? He keeps saying that to this one girl who is interested in, for some reason.
Who's completely not interested in him, or really anything at all.
Yeah. She just kind of wants to sit there and be bug-eyed.
She was very morose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was morose. And so...
even before the monster attack, she was morose. It was good that...
Before that video starts, we see a video from a month before where the main guy, Rob, who Hud follows around... and this girl that he was obviously in love with, Beth, where they just finished having a romantic night of sexual intercourse.
Yeah, and they were lifelong friends.
They decided to have some intercourse, and then they had a happy day. They said, we're going to go have a good day.
She'd never been to
Coney Island. Can you believe it?
I couldn't.
And so then from there it cuts to the party, because we find out at that point that he's...
Hud taped over most of it.
Well, and it wasn't Hud. That was the thing. Rob got mad at Hud, but Jason had the camera first.
That's right, Jason.
And he gave
brother,
it to Hud.
Man. Jason,
Rob gets mad at Hud. Poor Hud, man. Hud just kind of gets the raw end of the deal in this movie.
And Jason just wasn't going to do any work to help with his brother's party, even though Jason's girlfriend was clearly in love with Rob. You could tell. You figured that out pretty quickly. Yeah. Though that never became relevant in the movie, I guess.
Wait, Jason's girlfriend was in love with Rob?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she was.
She was all trying to put this thing together
and be all nice to... You couldn't tell?
You could tell she was really in love with Jason.
No.
She was very...
Because she cried about him being dead for five minutes.
No. I never got that once.
I got that.
It was very, very obvious that
she
was really nice, and she was like the motherly person, and she and Jason were a thing, and that was that.
Okay.
I didn't get anything with her and Rob.
I got a little of that, but then it seemed like maybe it was just an option. Anyway,
option.
It was the direction it could have gone, but didn't, I was thinking of the narrative. As I'm sitting here, where's this going to go? How's this garbage going to pan out? And then make with the monster. But yeah, you know what it did do? It did make it seem like the U.S. military forces are on their toes, because they, in a matter of 2 hours, they get hospitals up, they figured shit out, and they started taking
they
stuff.
Learned from they learned Katrina.
And you noticed it. Yeah, they did. They did. They totally did.
But I was thinking this morning about it. It's a sort of in real time, but there's no way it possibly could, because it's probably from about 12:30 till what?
Well, it shows them
45.
Cutting. I mean, they turn the camera off and they turn it back on.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of how many times it did that once the action really got started.
Quite a few.
I mean, when they stopped at when they got into that little station at the subway after their altercation with the little creatures, I'll call them chicken graboids if anyone remembers Tremors 2. They essentially were chicken graboids.
They looked
Tremors 2.
They had longer legs.
They looked like ant lions from Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. Everybody's played Half-Life 2, so they'll take my word for it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure people yeah that play video games listen to this.
Ant lions,
many people.
But it didn't seem like, at the end, they had the last cut, at the very end of the movie. It seemed like it was a long time,
Yeah.
It seemed like they hadn't done a cut before that for a while.
Well, the thing is, I was watching for it, and I counted at least 10 to 15 different camera stoppages, including the ones where it suddenly cuts back to, Rob saying, which tape did you tape this on? And he grabs the camera, and then it goes to... the month ago thing. Mm-hmm. And they did that month ago thing five times throughout it.
That's
so you
true.
Can figure that each of those times could have been any lapse of time at all. I don't think it's very, very relevant. It doesn't really matter, except for that at the end it's finally daytime where it's been night the whole time.
And I read something that apparently in that last one, when you can see him in the Ferris wheel behind, you can see the ocean, and I guess something crashes into the ocean. And people think it's either the spaceship of the monster, and it's an alien, or it's a satellite that crashed and it woke the monster from being asleep from thousands of years.
You see something like that?
I didn't see it, but I read it on Film Junk had it. They had one of those like things about it, you know.
I noticed.
It was like
I was expecting that they would do something like that when they did when they looked out at the ocean in the beginning. But then I was thinking, oh, they didn't do anything because I don't remember seeing anything crashing.
No, not then. So it happened like the month earlier, and then the monster's just like waking up. He's getting his coffee. He's like, you know, stretching out. He's checking out the news, and he's like, you know what? All that I gave these people. All that I gave them, and they've wasted it, and they've thrown it away.
Because this monster is God.
I'm going to destroy it. Yes.
So because J.J. Abrams is a Jew, when this movie was first reported to come out, and there was the little, you know, preview in front of whatever it was. What was it where they showed it?
I don't remember.
It was a big
now.
Deal, though. It was a big deal.
Was it Transformers?
Might have been Transformers.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, and no one knew what this thing was. And the immediate speculation about it was... dude, this is going to be some Jew thing. And so, seriously. And so, there were all these things online where people were talking about all these message boards, and they were sure that they had started to see the viral websites. And the first viral website...
Even though Abram is just like a producer.
Had a Bible verse on it. And the Bible verse references three biblical monsters.
Mm-hmm.
One of them that's from the sea, one of them is from the land, and one is from the sky.
It's like the Leviathan and the Titan.
Well, it's not just that, and there's a third one also. No, the Leviathan, a behemoth, and a third one, and they all have in the Old Testament at least have like mentions to demonic things and stuff like that, and so they're like yeah, on the website, and actually you can click over certain things on the first website, you run it over, and it turned to the Jewish words for those three things.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot like, and then of course it ended up being nothing like that. But
well, you could still interpret that, I suppose, is it being some kind of biblical
like two more
monster
movies or something?
It came from the sea. It came from the sea.
It did come from the sea, and then it was on the land, and there was nothing about the air, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's just part one of maybe, like you're saying, a three-parter. The next one will be in Europe, and it will be the air one. Now, I do air last. Here's what I'm going to do if I were going to take over this franchise, because it's going to be a franchise, I think. You do two more that are the camera gimmick, and one's in Japan. Let's just do that. Japan. Get it out of the way. But it's the air one. And then one.
They'll never see it coming.
One, exactly. And then, no, you know what? Do the air one in Africa and do the land one in Asia. Because you know what? You never want to get involved in a land war in Asia.
Right. That's true.
That's true. And then do a proper fourth movie, fourth, fifth, like a combo package, double shoot it, like the Matrix sequels or Back to the Future. That's a proper movie, no longer the camera gimmick. I'm not sure yet. I'm not really a monster movie pro. I like the monster stuff in monster movies, but like Godzilla movies bore me to tears half the time because it's like
terrible.
No monster stuff for a while, then a little bit, then like long periods when it's just like bad dubbing and.
To me, it's just B movie campy schlock. I don't get how people like. There's people who try to say now that it was some really viable. Sign of the times thing about post nuclear Japan, and it was about their fears of more. They just made a dumb rubber monster suit movie. That's all it is. Roar! And it's kicking over some like plastic houses. And then like guys coming on wires and they fight. You know, come on, that's all they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's sort of if it's your cup of tea as a genre or whatever, then that's fine. I'm not going to judge on that, but. I like a good monster just as like as a horror creature thing. I'm not so big on the slashers. Those are usually kind of boring. They're kind of redundant. But something about like sort of the epitome of something that's just disgusting and crazy and violent and vulgar and going after you. And really, it's much more primitive to me. And it's much more frightening, even though it's completely unrealistic.
It's what the first Alien was about.
It's the first Alien. Yeah. It's
a real good monster movie should just be kind of equal to what a horror movie should be.
Yeah.
And I think this one really kind of fit the bill there because it, in terms of just the senses that it elicits as it's happening is that everyone is completely just overcome by fear in this movie. It's an utter panic. People are running everywhere.
It's more panic than fear, I think, because people are doing. People were all this overcome with fear, then the characters would have been more.
Well, most of the
paralyzed.
Characters are, except for they go and they follow Rob, who's the only thing that keeps him going is the fact that he's obsessed about finding Beth.
Yeah,
which is a girl he boned a month ago, and he wants some more.
He wants some more,
and now
he's got a fresh wound to give it a shot to, right?
Oh, man,
the rebar in the arm,
rebar
in
the shoulder,
which is where you also the perfect place to get shot, perfect place to also get impaled with rebar,
right there.
Really,
right there.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what happens in movies.
The upper left shoulder. Yeah. That was a pre-med. I know.
Kind of like
he was pre-med. They,
AVPR.
I like how they pulled her off the rebar, and then moments later, she's sprinting through the street.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I think maybe the adrenaline
closed both sides of the wound and cauterized it.
Yeah, who knows?
Adrenaline is an amazing doctor.
Well, fight or flight, that's what happens with things. Yeah. It just kind of shrinks down.
You asshole.
Sorry.
Gosh. So, what else is there really to say about it? I mean, it's a creepy monster movie. It's short, so you can't bitch about it being dragging too long. It does seem like it takes a little bit of time to start, but really the gimmick of it is that you need to sort of feel a little bored.
You do, and in this case it works. Now, we just complained about this.
Kind of, it's even kind of like as a soap opera kind of compelling a little bit, because it's like, oh, this poor guy.
And the thing is that we complained about this in Alien vs. Predator Requiem. Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, sorry.
Yes.
That they give you all these characters, but then they just kind of throw them off throughout the rest of the film and kill them. And this, that doesn't happen. Characters die after we get to know them, but they all come to like certain... I thought it was a little bit forced with the Robin Beth thing at the end.
Yeah.
But the rest of them is like, if any of them die, it's because, you know, they usually... Something meaningful at least happens with them. And also at the same time, since it's a more realistic setting, then it also kind of shows you just like the...
stuff happens.
The inanity of like life and death is that like you can have these plans and things are going to happen, and without a warning, you know, the realistic aspect of it is without a warning, some gigantic monster comes out of the ocean and kills you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one, the first death, Rob's brother, was kind of like surprising to me.
I expected something was going to happen.
Well, before it, you know, focused on him for a little too long.
And then you just see water dropping on him and he looks up.
Yeah, and I was like, aw. Come on now.
He got some tail before he died.
I knew that one thing in terms of the preview.
She didn't die.
She did.
She was the only one.
She got away in the helicopter.
She got away in the helicopter. I thought she was. Oh, wait, I thought they were going to show her go.
The one that exploded.
The bug-eyed chick.
Yeah.
The bug-eyed morose one.
I knew.
So one thing about the filmmaking was, considering that it was all shot in digital video and was all handheld stuff and really wild, shaky handheld stuff, which, by the way, I didn't find to be...
They kept it pretty calm.
The first third of the movie, it was kind of...
Yeah, but at no point did I ever feel like some people warned that it was the Blair Witch type thing where you feel like you're going to throw up in parts of it, which I didn't in Blair Witch either, but...
Well,
but,
I think that it's an urban environment, it's a city, so it's smoother, it's not hillside.
Taking all that into account, the CGI was actually... You could tell it was CGI in some parts, but it was very well done considering they were putting that into a constantly moving digital picture.
Yeah.
And they did that really well.
Like they did sort of do the... I mean, people bitched about the first about the Michael Bay Transformers. Like, the camera constantly moves because they can't just get this visual effects good enough to just, you can look at it and believe what it is. And you kind of get a little of that with this at the beginning, to kind of like hide the monster. You see a corner of a tail flip back and forth.
Well, I think that was for...
It works effect. It works for the realism. It works for effect, too. But then eventually they throw all their chips out there. And they show, you know.
Yeah.
They give the full Monty when it comes to the monster. At the end, and you're like, okay, well, I guess there you go. No big deal there. Though I am still a little curious about it. It's a tough son of a bitch. I mean, they're shooting it with rockets.
Yeah, it got carpet bombed and everything.
Carpet bombed by a B-2. Yeah. Flew over and just...
And, they really kind of threw all they had at it, and it seems to have a very tough hide.
Operation Hand.
Yeah, and the smaller ones didn't...
You know, in the old, Gauntlet game... I remember in the arcade, you could see, like, when you wanted to select which character you want to do, like, there's a wizard, and there's, like, an elf, or, like, a thief, or something like that, and then there's the main guy, and there's, like, I don't forget what all the classes were, but it showed what each of their armor was, and, like, what percentage, like, increase of stats it gave them, and it was just, like, on the arcade console, and the guy, who's, like, the berserker, like, the fighter guy, he's, like, he looks like Conan from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it said his armor is, it was, like, plus 10, tough leathery skin. So his armor, and now all the time, anytime like anyone takes like I don't know, this monster, this the whole time I was just thinking of Gauntlet, because he had skin. It wasn't like he was wearing armor, you know, or anything. And like they carpet bombed him, and he got knocked over and everything. They blew the crap out of him all movie long.
Yeah.
And then at the end he's like, oh, I'm good, you know, because he has tough leathery skin. No bombs can penetrate his tough leathery skin. But he got from years of tanning, I'm sure.
I guess. I don't know.
Apparently it's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, thanks, by the way. I guess if you'd read and knew that was all that was at the end, we could have got up and left like 3 minutes
No, I wanted to hear it because they said...
It's like it's supposed to be reversed, I've heard. I've heard it's
like... No, somebody said it's reversed, but it didn't sound reversed to me. I heard it say it's still... It sounded like it's still alive, but it was really like...
Maybe if you already know what it's going to say, you know?
Does It Still Alive sound the same backwards and forwards? I still got eaten, like that? Like, wouldn't that was what it would sound like? But it sounded like it's still alive.
Yeah. I don't know.
So anyway, we sat through the whole... gigantic epic score,
the overture,
epic,
that was good stuff. I like that.
How did it go?
I don't remember now. I'm glad too, because I was gonna have it stuck in my head for like a month.
Well, you went, if we were gonna podcast right afterwards, you said we should all sing it for like 10 minutes.
I know.
I remember that there's one part, there's like
we didn't have a chance to do that though.
There's like choirs of women going well, the music's like, yeah, and it sounded to me like an Ennio Morricone thing, like a little bit. It almost sounded like
it was like, yeah, but it was also like an Ennio Morricone blended with like a...
It wasn't Ennio Morricone. They said who it was.
No. Oh. Blended with like a...
It was Johnny Greenwood.
Old-time Japanese...
Johnny Greenwood's doing all scores these days.
Well, what's he doing the score for?
He did There Will Be Blood. I heard it. It's awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. It's excellent.
I want to see the movie for sure.
It's really strange. It was great stuff.
I want to
see
it. It's
got like beats and stuff in it. It's weird. Yeah. For the time, it's
Interesting. So yeah, that one will be a good one. This movie was good, but I'm going to give it a B. I'm going to give it a solid flat up
you know,
B.
I expected
what it was. It was a short monster movie that was the gimmick of make it seem realistic because it's shot in a certain way.
I expected less, and I expected way less emotion and like actual kind of scares out of it. And every time you see... You know, they do really get you into the feeling of you are there and someone's really taping this and, like, you could feel like you're almost doing this.
There was kind of a verite quality to it.
There's that scene where they're on top of the buildings going across and you see the monster, like, coming toward them, kind of.
Yeah.
And it really is, like, genuinely freaky. Like, can you imagine seeing something like that? It would just be paralyzing. Yeah. So, I'm going to give it, like, a B+. I expected pretty low, so I think that's pretty...
You're giving it an A.
Giving it an A-, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Just because, like... I think I went in.
Well, I was sitting closer to the guy that was mad about it, so I think I kind of absorbed
I took the blast.
I think people just hated the ending, like how it ended. A lot of people were pissed off, well, like at the end.
It was also short, so I think a lot of people felt. Yeah. People are getting used to these bizarre 2 hours and 15 minute long movies that don't need to be that long, and they're starting to probably get acclimated to that to the point where they feel like they've been ripped off if they're not getting a full 2 hour movie.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, the guy probably sat down, you know, and thought.
Well, the thing is, like, I read a lot of reviews and they said that, you know, it wasn't like an epic monster movie. And, like, it was more personal, you know, with the characters, which
and that was the point. It's
which I really like.
Post 9/11 age, which is all cliche and trite to say now, but the idea is that, like, you know, everything's all uploaded to YouTube, camera phone stuff. And you notice in that one of the opening scenes, after all the explosions happen, they all run downstairs and the Statue of Liberty's head
comes
landing on the ground. You notice that, like, there's instantly flashes. Everyone's taking pictures of it with camera phones. And, like, before they know what's going on,
video
people start freaking out. They're just standing out there taking pictures
of it. It's that weird sort of, like, voyeuristic.
Yeah.
There was a lot of 9/11 stuff, too.
There was,
especially when the building came down and everybody was, you know, running away.
Yeah,
from, like,
they were all saying it was terrorists. I think it was the Chrysler Building, wasn't it?
I don't know if the first
one was the Empire State.
It was an Empire State.
It was
no, it had a rounded top kind of.
Okay, so.
And it had like green lights on it. I don't know. You know, you gotta
definitely
go
scared.
To that. What's that?
You were definitely scared watching this movie. I could tell you were
I pissed myself several times.
Are you serious?
You were at a certain point about, I would say, about halfway into the movie, you just needed the edge of your seat because you were right there on the edge.
I had been leaning back in my seat the whole movie and just laying
Zach
there.
Zach was like, just like wide eyed and everything.
Like my
little,
butt
I think
was
there was a little bit
asleep.
Of tears.
So for the last like 2 minutes of the movie, I leaned forward and like put my hands on my wrist. And afterwards, Ian was like, dude, you shouldn't have paid for that whole seat. You only needed the edge of it.
I know.
And I was like, yeah.
That's right.
It's good.
And no, he really did say that.
You were on the edge of your seat.
I was literally on the edge of my seat at the end of the movie, and it wasn't because of excitement, because, like I always do, I spoiled the movie for myself before I saw it. I knew exactly what happened to everyone. So,
why do you do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I didn't do that.
You probably would have cried at the end of this movie if you didn't spoil it for you, huh?
You know one movie I didn't do that in?
Armageddon?
No. It was Eastern Promises this year. He just went like this. Eastern Promises. I didn't do that during Eastern Promises, and I appreciate that I didn't.
Yeah, because it's better to go see a movie not knowing everything about it. Are you going to do it during There Will Be Blood?
He already did.
No, you know what? I couldn't find a full plot synopsis. I did find a spoiler on
something. It's probably the kind of movie that doesn't matter because
it told something that happens, like in the epilogue. Something happens to
somebody. Did you do that for No Country? So you knew that
Moss, I knew what happened in No Country.
You knew Moss was going to die.
Well, I had read a book review that gave it all away like a year ago, so I knew it beforehand. I think that what it should be, if they do a proper movie, is one woman's revenge on the monster.
And she just there's just like a lot of like scenes
at the end.
Of her
she sneaks up behind it and goes, "Remember me?" And slits its throat.
Her with like a tank top on and like a minigun.
Yeah.
Let's rock.
It'd be weird if they did another one because
you know where they should have shot the thing right in his head lungs.
I know,
right?
Yeah, like no one thought to shoot in the head lung, the head bladders that go.
Yeah, those bladders got to be for something, right? The thing would have died of asphyxiation eventually.
Possibly, they must be extra tough hide covered.
Another reason why I don't think it was something from space was that this movie was so
huge,
so based on like realism. That you would have to assume that in that universe there would that something would have to have come from a planet with our exact like oxygen mixture and stuff to be able to survive, you know, like especially something.
Or maybe
like
it doesn't, and that's why it's pissed. It's like having trouble
I
breathing.
I can't breathe.
My asthma's really kicking in.
It did seem kind of like a cantankerous monster. Like it was just like
It was cantankerous.
It didn't seem like it was like doing anything. Though, not Beth, but what's her name? Margarine or.
Margarine?
Whatever, Margarita.
Malenko?
Dean Malenko, the wrestler.
Malenko?
Marina?
Malina?
Marinka?
Which character? Just say
the bug-eyed.
Bug-eyed morose chick. She apparently, she saw it first when we didn't see it, and she said it was eating people.
Yeah.
But then it didn't eat HUD at the end. It just kind of picked him up and shook him around.
Well, it might eat half of them.
Yeah. Could have eaten half a HUD. I could eat a half a HUD.
Hey, let's talk about the names. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Blaine decided to bring up the point that HUD stands for Heads Up Display.
And
you also said because
Housing and Urban Development.
Housing and Urban Development. But Heads Up Display would then be very fitting since he was the person with the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we said, what about if there's other names? And you said, what about Rob? And I said, it's because they robbed me of my $6.
Exactly.
With that ending. But they didn't. They just robbed that guy who thought I was retarded.
This was retarded. You all agree with me, correct? Yes?
I think that guy wanted a confirmation from the rest of the
audience. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, dude.
So what do you think this movie compares to other monster movies at all? Or would you say that it's kind of its own thing? I for one, can't believe it took them this long to come up with that gimmick. I mean, they'd been using that gimmick of sort of making things seem more realistic by dirtying them up in like television commercials. Like it seemed like one thing they were doing is those Ratchet and Clank commercials where they'd be like the kids are shooting like a video of themselves doing some kind of like Jackass kind of thing. And then there would be like a visual effect thing, but it'd be far off. Those do sort of feel more realistic because of the way that they're kind of given this sort of like handheld Dogma 95 kind of appearance of somebody just sort of there shooting it. Or maybe it's Cinema Verite, I don't know.
Ooh, the Killer Elite. That's that type of bomb movie I was talking about. I should record that.
Okay.
Yeah, my favorite scene probably was the one where they were on the building. It was like it was really cool how they just kept switching back to the monster. I was like,
that stuff was pretty
I was like hoping that he didn't knock their building down, even though, you know, obviously he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because they'd be dead.
They'd be dead too quick. Well, that was the thing. At a certain length you started thinking, well, all bets could be off. Yeah. But then you did know that they had to be in Central Park.
Yeah.
True. When
no, he could like have hit it and their camera would go flying.
Yeah,
flying
yeah.
Central Park.
Yeah.
That and for a minute there, I almost thought like when the camera's lying there in Central Park, I'm almost like, is it just going to stay that way? And is that going to be the way it ends?
Like when HUD gets
When HUD gets eaten or something. Ripped apart.
That was pretty sad. Poor HUD.
Yeah, well, HUD's a goofy guy. He doesn't get the girl, and he gets out. He gets killed. Just like Method, just like Red Man in How High, right?
Yeah, I know that pissed me off,
dude.
Red Man always gets the shit.
What? Huh? Yeah. I got probably the same guy that was like, what a rip-off at the end of, like, Fellowship.
There were people, like, in the front, like, laughing at one part. I forgot which part it was.
Some of it was funny.
Well, no, it was, like, a serious part, though. And they were, like, laughing at it.
Well, that's what people do, right?
Because so that people do
makes it really cool. Annoyed me.
Ian does that, and it bugs me sometimes.
So. I've only done that a couple of times. Yeah. Because
we were watching something, and something happened that wasn't like funny at all, and Ian's like, and I asked him what he did it afterwards for, and it wasn't even that he thought it was stupid, and he laughed. He laughed because like somebody did something that like he thought was supposed to be funny.
What? Are you talking, about for the Wes Anderson movie when I laughed when the kid died because it was just like kind of ironic. Cynical laugh out of the how terrible they would be.
It was about
dark
like
humor there.
What the real feelings of that character were.
Uh-huh.
And why he said what he did, mine died, and he laughed.
Wait.
Because it was like all about competition.
The Darjeeling, when they had all tried to save one of those kids, and...
Oh, and you laughed.
He laughed when that he goes. He goes. Mine died. And he goes.
I didn't clap my hands. And it was a wry laugh to show at the character.
He thought, what would it take for that character to say that? And he thought the emotional state that guy would have to be in, like completely, just like
is that he'd have to be so like. Self-involved that it's about that saving those kids was about the competition between him and his other brother.
So he
read
so deeply into it that he laughed
because that's what I do.
Where I assumed that he was laughing because he thought it was stupid, which pisses me off no end in movies. I see serious movies with people and people who think it's stupid, like ha ha ha, that's so dumb, like really loudly in the theater, and they're like looking around waiting for people to agree with them.
Yeah,
why don't you think this is dumb? No, I saw Bowling for Columbine.
You saw it in theaters?
In Silver Lake, yeah.
Where's Silver Lake?
Silver Lake in Los Angeles.
Isn't that where Joe Dirt lived?
No, it's where hipster Hollywood trash lives.
Okay, and fantastic.
All people who wear Rivers Cuomo glasses and
sit in coffee shops
and write screenplays and their memoirs all day and then blog about a band they saw on Thursday. And so anyway...
A hipster band like Weezer.
Yeah. They're not a hipster band. They're a band for 14-year-old girls.
Okay.
So
they're not cool anymore.
So I go to see Bowling for Columbine, and we go with one of Luke's friends. Uh-huh. This guy named Max, who looks like Scott Stapp from Creed.
Fantastic.
And he used the word corporate like it was the F word.
Uh huh.
You know, and he was like, "Yeah, man, this corporate, you know, the corporate machines always shoving their corporate message down our corporate throats."
It's like, I'm gonna go home and corporate my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Corporate throats. Yeah, and I'm just using that as an example, but. But anyway, so we're watching the movie, and of course, being a Michael Moore film, it's an ultra-liberal, reactionary thing with fake numbers and statistics.
What are you talking about?
Shut up. Bowling for Columbine. We're talking about what makes people laugh.
He uses statistics that work in his favor while ignoring the ones that don't. 200%
of nothing?
Yeah, and so at the end of the film, there's a couple times where it showed, like, it showed Bill Clinton, and he, like, didn't make any noise at all, and it would show George W. Bush, and he was like, "Boo! Boo!" Like, in theater. He was, like, booing George W. Bush in the theater during this movie. And, like, all the other hipsters were, like, looking around, and like, who's booing George W. Bush? That's not very ironic. As the credits are rolling, this Max guy stands up and goes, "Yes! Yes! Yes!" And he's like, giving it his full. And
he has a full on left wing yuppie douchebag
anyway,
climax right
so
there
the
in the theater.
Sitting
in front
there,
of
and I like slunk way down my seat. I think I like slid all the way out of my seat onto the floor. And Luke was like kind of sitting there with his like head in his hands and like looking over. And a few other people we were with kind of looked around. And as he stood there, I swear he said this. He looked around the theater and said, "Why are you all applauding?" He was like super pissed. He's like, "Seriously, why? What? Come on, everyone! Come on!" Yeah!
Was like, he poked out or something?
No.
Are you serious?
He loves politics.
He loves his politics.
He loves bad politics.
His stuff, huh?
So anyway, I just think of that all the time.
I thought that was The Rock for a minute there, but now they twisted something
else. It's The Mummy, man.
Yeah. Well, they were showing scenes.
It's The Mummy.
With Womack.
Womack.
Do you have like every podcast?
Well, you say Womack every
time. I know.
Time.
I'm sorry. So yeah, so people laughing inappropriately at movies is that I kind of felt bad about it, but then I kind of realized whatever, I could give a lot. That was the emotional state I was in when I was watching the movie. See, because I don't spoil movies for myself. Like you probably knew the kid was going to die, right?
I didn't.
Okay. See, so I actually will feel things. I'll have like reactions when I'm in the theater. I'll probably tear up at the end of Barber of Seville or whatever we're going to see right now. You know,
Sweeney Todd, the Barber of Demons Street.
Probably not, but
Fleet Street.
Uh oh,
the other
Commando.
Time...
Oh, when's it on? I got to tape it again. Just so we can watch him feeding the deer. Mando, tomorrow. When tomorrow?
All day tomorrow?
I hope. I hope it plays constantly tomorrow.
Oh, boy. Womack. Okay, we have a little Action Network preview here in the background. Yeah. The other time I was laughing in the theater, I kind of just decided that I'm going to I'll do that, because I think sometimes audiences don't get what's going on, or they're not willing to laugh at things that are supposed to.
You'll prompt them.
I won't prompt them. I'll just, like, you know, if I think it's funny, I'll laugh. Minority Report. When Tom Cruise is chasing his eyeballs around on the floor, that was hilarious. And no one else was laughing.
I think I chuckled.
No one else was laughing, but I'm like, this is so ridiculous and stupid. This is like a slapstick thing, you know? It's just dumb. And everyone else is like, no.
Every time he slipped, it was like,
it pretty much was. It pretty much was in that movie. And so it was funny, because like everyone else is probably just like, oh, Tom Cruise, we can't laugh at him because he's awesome, right?
They'll find his eyes.
You know, all I could think of, though, now that I think about that, is that if Tom Cruise were to come by somebody else chasing their eyeballs around, he'd be the only person that would be able to help them.
Exactly.
Okay, then. Well, we probably had to wrap this up. Movie.
Yeah, we got to go see Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Okay, guys.
Half an hour.
You can email us, feudaltitle.gmail.com, or visit us on the web at feudaltitle.blogspot.com if you're interested in some of what we got to offer, which is just talking about movies and stuff. And we'll be doing some serious ones here pretty soon. I think we'll definitely do There Will Be Blood, and maybe that'll be good.
Meet the Spartans.
Meet the Spartans.
I really don't want to do.
I kind of want to do. We need to do a couple more themed ones. We got to do romance movies for Valentine's Day, possibly. You know, we'll make it work.
We're gonna do Peck and Paw one these days.
Peck and Paw for sure. Okay, see you later, guys.
Wallace Shawnisms into this, so just throw them around.
Who's Wallace Shawn?
The guy who said that in Princess Bride.
That's about all I can do.
No, she went to Eureka to get her hair done.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, you could ask who it was.
It's Trina.
Oh, okay. Trina.